Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Welcome to The Shepherd's Pie, a slice of hope to raise faithful kids, where we focus on topics that impact young people today. I'm Anthony Barone Kolenk. I'm a father of five who served in the Air Force for 21 years. I'm now a law professor and a columnist for Practical Homeschooling magazine. I'm also the author of The Harwood Mysteries, an inspirational medieval fiction series for kids age 10 and up. Here on The Shepherd's Pie, we want to inform, inspire, and help you raise happy, healthy, faithful kids, whether you're a homeschooling parent, a teacher, a youth leader, anyone. In today's episode, we talk about ways to teach kids science. My guest is Brock Eastman, whose alter ego, Dr. Fizzlebop, helps kids to learn about scientific principles by doing fun, exciting experiments that you can do at home. In the entertainment segment, I review the award-winning audio drama series Adventures in Odyssey, which my guest Brock Eastman was involved with from Focus on the Family, and which my kids listened to when they were growing up. It's difficult for parents to teach kids science and scientific concepts. Sometimes they're difficult, they're hard for even parents to understand. Doing experiments can be difficult when you don't have a science lab or a chemistry lab available to you. And we see so many times that the way that science is presented to our kids today, it almost seems like they're going out of their way to avoid God, a creator, an intelligent designer, or anything of faith that might show that faith and science are compatible. To the contrary, they seem to want to conclude that faith and science are at odds with each other. My guest today, Brock Eastman, has found a way to bring science to kids in a fun way, in the comfort of your home, using ordinary ingredients, in a way that will link science experiments back to faith concepts, trying to marry together both faith and science in a way that kids could integrate and appreciate. I'm excited today to be with Brock Eastman, who has written and sold over 150,000 books, including Imagination Station and his Quest for Truth series. He worked as the product marketing manager at Focus on the Family and was on the Adventures in Odyssey team. He is the alter ego of the Dr. Fizzlebop persona. We might even get a chance to meet Dr. Fizzlebop today. And Brock writes feature stories and Dr. Fizzlebop's recurring column for Clubhouse and Clubhouse Junior Magazine. He lives in Colorado with his wife and four kids. Brock, thank you so much for being on The Shepherd's Pie.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Tell me a little bit about, I know you're not with Focus on the Family anymore, but that seems to have been a big part of your background, and the Adventures in Odyssey series, which we used to listen to the cassette tapes of the original Adventures in Odyssey with our kids when we would be traveling around the country. Tell us a little bit about your background in that.
Well, I grew up first, like you said, I grew up on Adventures in Odyssey. It was something we listened to every night going to bed or any car trip we went on. Then in 2009, I had the opportunity to go work for them, and I started in product marketing, and that's where my degree is. I was part of the relaunch of the brand when we redesigned the characters, Eugene and Connie and Wit, and to some excitement and to some maybe some disdain from some fans long term. But it was a lot of fun to be part of that and to feel like it was a new era for Odyssey. At the end of my time at Adventures in Odyssey, I was a producer and launched the Odyssey Adventure Club. And that is the streaming service where you can listen to every Adventures in Odyssey episode ever created on their website. So it's pretty fun. It was a great thing. I still appear on the Odyssey podcast. And so that's been a lot of fun to have that long relationship with them.
Wow, that's awesome. And I understand we also have something in common. You have a middle grade series of books. Could you tell us a quick thing about that?
Yeah, this is my The Quest for Truth series, and it's with Focus on the Family and PNR Publishing, and it's about these four kids whose parents are kidnapped, of course, you know, but it's set in space and sci-fi. And I grew up liking Indiana Jones and Star Wars, so there's some influences from space and sci-fi, but archaeological going into ruins. And so I have to unlock these clues to try to find their parents, but also to unlock kind of what the history is. So like this place called Ursprung, where is this origin that they're trying to find and get back to? And it's a planet, of course. So it's just a lot of sci-fi fun. And there's five books and they got bigger and bigger as I wrote. As you know, it's really hard to control that story sometimes. And your characters start talking to you. So I listen to what they say.
Yeah, I was just saying, I just finished up book five, and it is the longest of the five. So but not by much. I'm pretty disciplined in how I write these things. But nowadays, I understand you are really fully engaged with Dr. Fizzlebop, as you call him, your alter ego. Can you tell us a little bit about who Dr. Fizzlebop is and what inspired you to create him?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm a dad first of four kiddos. And so part of my desire in bringing Dr. Fizzlebop to life has always been about just engaging with my family and my kids. Dr. Fizzlebop allows me to do that in a way, but I'm hoping it allows parents to do that too. And so I've been writing for Clubhouse and Clubhouse Junior Magazine for, I don't know, since 2009 or 10, off and on. And I sat down with Jesse Floria. He's the editor there, and said, do you need any recurring columns or anything that you need that would be ongoing? And he goes, give me some ideas. And so I threw out this science column called Dr. Fizzlebop. And it was just going to be an experiment, really simple, in Clubhouse Junior. And so they said, yeah, we like that. And so about every few months, starting in about 2016, they were running a Dr. Fizzlebop column. Well, as you know, the pandemic hit, right, in 2020. And my friend Linda Howard at Tyndale, she called me up and said, hey, we really, really want to reach kids at home. We really want to encourage them and bring them hope. We're thinking about doing a summer VBS, like a summer camp at home online. And we wonder if you'd be the host of it. And I said, of course. Well, through that, they didn't find somebody to do Science Thursdays. And I said, well, hey, I've got this character named Dr. Fizzlebop in this column. And I would actually, it'd be fun to maybe bring him to life. And so in my hometown middle school, I took over one of the classrooms and we put up a set for the first, well, it's just a table, actually. It's just a table and a camera for the very first ever Dr. Fizzlebop experiment. And he came to life in 2020, every Thursday for just two Thursdays, just two experiments. But that did something. And Tony, the response was really great and the feedback was great. And so Linda and I started getting our heads together. We thought, could this be something more? And so we set out to write a devotional, and that's what became the book. We did another round of Dr. Fizzlebop last year, two more episodes. I raised the production quality. We had some sets. We had two tables instead of one, a little bit better camera. And then knowing that we would be leading into the spring in January, we would officially launch a weekly video experiment on Dr. Fizzlebop's YouTube channel. So all that came to a crux, and the book came out in November. It's 52 experiments and devotions.
Our listeners can't see it, but you are, in fact, I believe right now, channeling a little bit of Dr. Fizzlebop in how you are dressed and your background. Can I just meet Dr. Fizzlebop for a minute or two, if you can give up some of your podcast time to him?
Absolutely. He would love to meet you. He'd love to meet you.
All right. Well, let me, if you can grab him for a second, I really want him to tell me a little bit about how he likes talking to kids.
Hey, Tony, I'm Dr. Fizzlebop. I absolutely love it. Talking to kids is as good as my favorite thing, which is fizz. It is fizz-tastic. It is the best. And part of that reason is they are so curious. They have so many questions and they want to know the truth. And so that's where this all started.
Wow. Well, you know, the one question that's been pressing on my mind, Doctor, is what is it you like to teach kids when you're telling them about all these different cool science things you do with them?
Absolutely. That's my favorite thing to talk about. We have a fantastic, marvelous, wondrous, intelligent designer. He is so creative, and he created this world around us. I've always been interested as a little boy and curious, as I mentioned, as kids are, on how did he do it? And what does this world look like? And there's a design to everything. Tony, it doesn't take much to walk outside. And I can see in your background, it's green outside right now. Today, we got inches and inches and inches of snow. So much snow, we had school canceled. But if you look at a snowflake and the intricate design of a snowflake, or how snow falls, or how water turns to ice, if you look outside at the plants behind you and how those leaves grow, we just did an experiment last week called Growing a Garden. And we showed three different seeds and how each one in that little seed, even though they look different, the design of the plant as it grows is completely different from the very beginning to what it will grow to what it'll produce, from a green bean to a pea to a sunflower. That's what our experiment was about. It is fantastic what God has done in the design. Anyhow, as you can tell, I get really excited about thinking about this intelligent designer, this creative God who designed you and designed me and the world around us to enjoy. And it brings me energy and excitement.
You know, Dr. Fizzlebop, it makes me happy to hear you talk. A lot of my listeners are either parents or homeschoolers or maybe even teachers. And I know I'm going to ask Brock about his websites in a minute, but I get the feeling that if they wanted to, they might be able to actually see some of your experiments and actually see you in person online. Can you tell my listeners how they can find you?
Absolutely, Tony. If you go to YouTube and just type in Fizzlebop, we will come up. And there are over 15 experiments already up there. And then every week, there'll be a brand new experiment. And the cool thing is, Tony, not only do I do the experiments right there and then, but I have lab assistants. So I've got some fantastic lab assistants who come in and join me doing the experiments. So kids can see kids doing them. Almost every experiment has ingredients you have right in your pantry at home. And these take 5 to 10 minutes to do. They're so fast and so easy. Some of them are a little messy, but not all of them, but they are fantastic. And so, I hope that answers your question. But if you go to YouTube and type in Fizzlebop, you can find it. And on fizzlebop.com, we often have these things called Fizz Extras. And if you go there, there are some free experiments on there that you can actually read how to do them right there and then.
I can already imagine an army of homeschooling moms right now who are going to the website, figuring out how they can put this into their Thursday science curriculum with their kids.
And they're going to learn fantastic concepts too. And there's even discussion questions, as you probably saw in the book, and a prayer. So it really takes them through the whole cycle. You can, in 15 minutes, you go from experiment to devotional to discussion to a prayer time together. So it's just kind of a complete package.
Excellent. Well, I noticed that Brock is starting to look a little bit impatient over there, that you've taken up all of his time. So goodbye, Dr. Fizzlebop. Can I talk to Brock
again? Bye, Tony. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. So that was fun. So it sounds like you have a good time being Dr. Fizzlebop is what it sounds like. All right. So Dr. Fizzlebop already told me why you think it's important to teach kids about science. Now, so I guess some people might say, but there's all sorts of resources out there. You can find science experiments and all sorts of books. What is it that's different and unique that you're doing with your faith and science book here?
You're right. I mean, you can go online and search a million experiments. They're all out there. And what I really hope about Faith and Science with Dr. Fizzlebop is that we've, one, made a really easy opportunity for parents and grandparents to engage with their kids, whether that be their kids or their grandkids, or even Sunday school teachers. We packaged it in a way that there's just a few pages to every experiment. It takes you from kind of an introduction setup to these simple experiments. And then from there, we take it to a devotion. We tie it back to a biblical theme. And they may not be what you expect. In fact, my favorite one, Tony, is called The Walking Rainbow. And the reason why I love it, it's about color. And you might think, this is a trick question. What Bible story do you think The Walking Rainbow would be about?
Maybe Noah?
It would make sense, right? But this one is about Joseph and the coat of many colors. And the reason why we do have two Noah's Ark ones in there. So that was a trick question. But what I love about this experiment is it's so easy. It's just water and food coloring cups and paper towels. But when we unpack the devotional part to it and kids see this beautiful color and this tapestry of these colors connected, I imagine Joseph's coat of many colors. And then as we go into the devotional, what we're actually talking about is a story of jealousy and forgiveness. It's a beautiful story. And my hope is that during school, so we're taking this all because, kids' minds work in these amazing ways. And let's say they're at school and they're even learning about primary and secondary colors, because this experiment takes red and yellow and blue with water and makes green, orange, and purple. But I want kids, as they're learning about colors, to have a reflection point where they're like, hey, what about that story about Joseph? And the idea being like, we don't always know what's happening in our day, But God is so good at timing. He knows the exact timing of our day. Our day is planned out because he knows it. What if in that day, God already knew they'd be learning about colors. They've got this devotional in their back of the mind, and there's an issue that they've got to deal with that comes around forgiveness or even jealousy. And it points them back to that memory of that experiment. He sets it up perfect to prepare us for what is to come. And so I hope this devotional is part of that.
So, you know, and you're right. I love that Joseph story. I use that at least two different times in my series. One, to illustrate how God turns things to good that, you know, man started as evil, and the other to talk about envy. So, you know, I mean, it's such a great story. Let me go back to, so the idea that we would want a faith-based science experiment book, which is totally cool, and I could see having so many uses. In my tradition, you know, I'm Catholic, you know, we don't really believe there should be a disconnect between faith and science. But I know we do experience that sometimes, especially in some of the kind of hot button science issues that come up. Yeah. Is Dr. Fizelbop encountering disconnects between faith and science, or how do you address that whole issue?
Part of this is coming from the perspective of, again, the audience being kids. The approach here is to empower kids early on to take on those STEAM careers, because they are gonna hit those moments where somebody's going to say to them, you cannot believe in a God and also be a scientist. You can't believe in God and go into what's so hot right now is space exploration right now. Like, you can't believe that and think that these planets were created by an intelligent designer. But what I want kids is to build a foundation. So as they start to build that foundation of these scientific concepts tied directly to what we know from our great creator, that it becomes part of who they are, part of them, and that they'll have such a strong belief that they'll have the foundation they need to talk about that. Talk about that not only just by saying, well, it's because it's in the Bible, but unpack it. Maybe their fellow scientists who are unbelievers understand why they came to that conclusion, that there has to be a creator and intelligent designer. Sometimes I joke, Tony, and this may not be true, but I feel that it's actually easier for me to believe in this wonderful creator than it is for me to believe in these two rocks smashing together a billion trillion years ago and all this to come to be. And I kind of feel bad for those who do, because I look around, I'm like, it's just so easy. It's so easy to see how God put this all together, how he did this for us and for me. And so anyways, I say that because I do believe that there's a disconnect often in our society. For me, there's not. And so sometimes it's hard for me to see the same thing others see with that disconnect. But I know people who have fallen into that trap and found themselves thinking, well, maybe they're right. Maybe there's not a God. And I don't want kids to fall into that trap. I want them to know with confidence there is a God, and he made this wonderful world. And here's how he did it. I think by demystifying some of the science behind simple concepts will help them to be stronger in their faith.
Right. No, and I think that's so important. I'm not a scientist. I can't speak to, you know, the big issues of evolution and how the science hits it and all that. But does Dr. Fizelbop have to take on evolution at any point, or are you able to sort of not have to get into, you know, that nitty gritty?
Primarily because of the audience we're in right now, we're not worried about that nitty gritty at this point. If I was doing products more in the high school range or the college range, certainly those would be head on topics.
Yeah. As I go through your Dr. Fizelbop book and I look at the kinds of experiments you're doing, like you said, I mean, they're simple, they're fun, they're kind of just really neat, like all the neat stuff that kids would like to see and realize, hey, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to do all this. And then I notice you do. You bring it together. You bring in different stories from the Bible. And it's just done to me in a really thoughtful way for kids without creating maybe some of the division that might be out there.
And Tony, you said something really important. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. First of all, I'm a dad of four kids. And there's nothing worse than when my kiddos ask me a question and I'm scrambling to think, I don't have the answer for that. What do I do? This book is about empowering parents as much as it is for kids. It's about giving parents an easy way to walk through this. Kids want to know their parents are the heroes in the story. They want to see their parents as someone who can give them answers. I don't have those answers often. So I hope that this book can help parents equip them to go through the experiments, to create that kind of that bond and that relationship of trust between kids and parents, and give them answers. Some of the questions in the back, they're not questions about, well, how does that work? They're questions about, what did you observe? What did you see? Let's talk about that. And the questions talk about the science, but also the devotional. So I'm hoping as parents and kids develop that relationship and trust around the experiment and they're learning scientific concepts together, that's the what's happening, Dr. Fizelbop. It tells you exactly what's going on in the experiment. when mom and dad read that, the answer is there for them, right? But then as we go into the devotional and we unpack that devotional and that concept, it's pretty straightforward. Parents, again, will be able to be the heroes and the experts in the story saying, well, here's what God meant when he talked about forgiveness.
I always like to ask my guests what advice they might give to a parent or a teacher, a youth minister, somebody working with kids on science and creation. Do you have any kind of practical advice to them if they want to be more intentional and effective in how to teach their kids about science?
My most simple start to that question is just start. We're so distracted in the world right now. There's so many things pulling for our attention. All I'm asking for families to do is just do one experiment. Just find time together, do one experiment together. And I promise you 100% guarantee that you will find that you're having so much fun as a family around that time of discussion and experiment together, you'll want to do another. And so I tell them, just start there. And as you start to explore and kids ask questions, you're going to find yourself digging deeper. And I think that's what will ultimately equip you, because you're going to see some science concepts and you might even like, well, that's a really interesting concept. I didn't know about that. And you'll read a Bible story or a Bible verse and be like, well, I don't think I realized that. And you'll go deeper in your Bible. And so it is all just about starting a habit, I think is really what I would say.
And I suspect that kids having fun with Dr. Fizzlebop, once they realize Dr. Fizzlebop has a website with YouTube videos and other experiments, that curiosity might probably lead them to be pulling their parents more along, you know, as they see all these other cool things that they can do online.
Yes, absolutely. I hope so. And then I hope, what does that do with that curiosity? I hope that they want to go into the fields of STEAM. I hope they choose science or technology, engineering, math, or art. STEAM is art instead of just STEM. We add art in there too. So art is part of those STEAM fields. And I want to encourage kids to explore that. What did God equip them to do and create them for?
Yeah. And I mean, clearly you're an artist, clearly you're creative, and you're able to take these different concepts and integrate them in a way that's fun and exciting. I am curious though, I mean, as somebody who's not a science guy myself, I'm not sure I'm seeing a lot of science screaming from your background. How did you, you know, do the research to make sure you got all this stuff right?
Yeah, and it was quick too. So here's a shout out. I probably shout out this gentleman many times. A teacher is always a teacher, right? So in high school, I had this fantastic science teacher, Mr. Bill. Mr. Bill was my sophomore, junior, freshman chemistry teacher. He actually reviewed this book for me 20 years post-school, right? Still teaching me, still helping me do my homework today. He actually reviewed these science concepts to make sure, okay, yep, Brock, you're in check. Oh, tweak that, fix that. You know, so I will say we did a lot of research. You're right. I'm a marketer. That's my degree is marketing. I'm curious. And so maybe some science experiments are simple because that's what I can do. but really, yeah, we made sure we verified that. And then the team at Tyndale, they had, I can't even tell you, 3 different post editors going through every experiment, testing them, making sure they work, making them accurate, tweaking them as needed, checking the science. And just a shout out to that whole team, because this book, Tony, you're an author, so you understand this. This book from contract was delivered in 9 months, full color during the pandemic, custom illustrations, spot gloss, lay flat binding. It's crazy. That doesn't happen typically.
No, that is incredible, actually. And it is. It's beautifully done. It's nicely bound. It's durable. Like you could see, you know, kids spilling, you know, baking soda and stuff all over it.
Spilled on it.
Wiping it up. Yeah, no, that's awesome. I don't suppose Mr. Bill was Bill Nye the Science Guy. He probably didn't have quite the same faith basis, perhaps, as you were looking for in Dr. Fizzlebop.
No.
But it's nice to have an alternative faith-based doctor out there talking about these things. So I'm glad that you're providing that. Tell us again, if people want to find Fizzlebop online, and then also, how can they find you and some of your other series online?
You can go to brockeastman.com, and that's BrockEastman.com. And so if you go there, you can get to all the Fizzlebop resources. You can get to my other books. So that's my website. I'm on Instagram and Facebook and Pinterest and Twitter, of course, as well. And LinkedIn, if you're a professional, feel free to connect with me there.
Brock, I really appreciate you coming on the show today. This is exciting stuff. And I'm really glad that there are these resources out there for parents and teachers to make it simple and yet bring together faith and science in a way that is fun. So thank you for that. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, Tony, thank you so much. I can't wait to read your series too. I'm excited about that, and my kids are going to love it, I'm sure. So thank you for having us.
On the entertainment segment today, I review the award-winning audio drama series, Adventures in Odyssey. During my interview with Brock Eastman, we discussed how Brock was involved with that series, created by Focus on the Family, for kids aged 8 to 12. I think this is a great series for kids and for the entire family to listen to. I remember when my kids were younger, we used to listen to the original Adventures in Odyssey. We had it on cassette tape. We used to listen to it all throughout our travels. We really enjoyed it. The episodes were interesting. They always covered topics that were of relevance to kids, teaching good values, but done in kind of a really interesting storyline where you get to know the characters. I went and listened to a few of the new episodes on the AdventuresInOdyssey.com website. And boy, has that really grown since we were listening to it. They've got a club. They've got a podcast. You can actually subscribe now and have access to all of the episodes. And there are hundreds and hundreds of these episodes that otherwise you would have to buy. Listening to it today, it still seems to have some of that same great family values, interesting storylines and dialogue. The episodes definitely teach Christian values from a biblical worldview. But there is nothing subtle or nuanced about the Christian message in this rebooted version of Adventures in Odyssey. It definitely has a strong Bible-based feel that, of course, you would normally associate with a wonderful Christian organization like Focus on the Family. And because the series involves teenagers, there does seem to be a lot of teenage drama between the characters, as you might expect in a high school setting. And definitely kids who are in the age range that they're focused on, 8 to 12, I think would really relate to the characters, although the characters are a bit older than that. Even though the series seems to focus on older teenagers mostly, interacting with each other and with adults on faith-based issues that are more mature, it's presented in a way that an 8 to a 12-year-old would probably appreciate some of the storylines and the dialogue and some of the back-and-forth drama that accompanies the teenage years. In some of the more recent episodes, one of the main characters, Olivia, is struggling with her faith and seems to be doubting the existence of God and questioning whether she should be an atheist. And so you can see there's definitely a lot of discussion between the characters trying to explain to her why God is real and should be part of our lives. And it is done from a very strong Christian viewpoint, for sure. The series itself is still done in an interesting way, acted out well with plenty of interpersonal drama that would likely keep kids interested in the storyline, even if they weren't themselves particularly religious. Because these are broadcast over the radio, you can hear the latest episodes free on the AdventuresInOdyssey.com website, but if you really wanted to have access to the whole series, you would wind up paying a monthly fee, as with many other streaming services out there. So check out AdventuresInOdyssey.com if you want your family to listen to an audio drama, something they can listen to especially in the car where they don't have their devices and videos in front of them, or even maybe just around the house, sitting around the couch as a family or the dinner table while the family's eating dessert. And that's AdventuresInOdyssey.com. That's all the time we have for the show today. We spoke with Brock Eastman about creative and fun ways to teach science to kids with a faith-based message. And I reviewed Adventures in Odyssey, the award-winning audio drama series from Focus on the Family. Again, this is Anthony Barone Kolenk, and this has been The Shepherd's Pie. If any of you listening today have a question for me or a topic you'd like to have us cover on the show, please drop me a line on my website at antonykolenk.com. That's AntonyKolenc.com. Also, if you visit my website, you can learn more about my historical fiction series for kids, The Harwood Mysteries. I'll end, as always, with my wife's favorite scripture quote from Romans 8:28. We know that all things work for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. May the Lord bless and keep you this week.